In Luke 17:7-10, we have a very interesting teaching from Jesus on the unprofitable servant. Now, if some may be familiar with this passage and you already know what it says, imagine that if that's the case, just for a moment for illustration, just pretend that you don't know the passage and you're unfamiliar with this. If you were to take out a piece of paper and just compile a list of qualities that would define a good or what we might call a profitable servant, and then on the other side of the paper, list some things that we would say would characterize an unprofitable servant. I don't know exactly what your list would show, but I suppose most of us would have some sort of general agreement that a good servant or a profitable servant is one that gets up on time. He doesn't sleep through his alarm. You know, he gets the coffee made before you get up in order to serve it to you. He makes meals that taste good. He doesn't burn the food. You know, he keeps the dishes done and keeps the house generally clean. He doesn't mix clothes in the laundry and cause discoloration. When you're eating dinner and he's refilling your drink, he doesn't spill water all over your lap while he's doing that. I mean, just basic things of basic responsibility, we might call the good or the profitable servant, somebody that's dependable, somebody that just you can count on. And we might call the unprofitable servant one that's irresponsible, or you never exactly know what their performance might be like. And yet in Luke 17:7-10, we get a different sort of definition of what makes up an unprofitable servant. Look at verse 7, Luke 17:7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus gives the picture here of a scenario where there's a master of a household, and then you have a servant that has multiple duties, including taking care of cattle and so forth, and taking care of the crops and the field. And then when that's all done, he comes back in and prepares the meal for the master and so forth. And Jesus asks some questions. If the servant, you know, comes in from the field and then prepares the master his dinner, has he done something that is considered thankworthy? Now, we're not necessarily looking here at politeness or words of encouragement or whatever. It's just a question about responsibilities and expectations. Is this what the servant was hired to do? Is this what he is supposed to be doing? Is this what's expected of him? Is it thankworthy if he does the things that he's supposed to do? And then Jesus compares this to our lives and servants of his. And he says in verse 10, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. In other words, in this teaching, Jesus is saying that an unprofitable servant is one that does everything that they have been commanded to do. And you might look at that and say, wow, that seems sort of maybe extreme expectations, or Does this seem to imply that God doesn't really take notice or care of his servants? And certainly, we're going to share some verses to the contrary of that point. But when you think about this for a moment, if you have received Jesus as your personal Savior and recognized that as God's Son, he came into this world and took on human flesh and crucified you a cross, and while he hung there on the cross, he took your sins and my sins upon himself, and he died, being the perfect sacrifice for all sins, rose again the third day, and by faith you have received him as your Savior. You have believed on him to have your sins forgiven, to give you eternal life. And you are both a child of God, been born into God's family through the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you're a servant of God as you live here upon the earth, the time that God's given you. If we understand and consider our relationship with God, and that it is all because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who willingly laid aside the prerogatives of his deity in heaven and came into this world, willingly died for us so that we could be born again, then we would come to the conclusion of what we find in Romans 12 and verse 1, that to give our lives as a living sacrifice unto God is simply our reasonable service. If Christ laid down his life for us, then why would we think it extraordinary to serve him with our lives? And why would we think it extraordinary that the things that we do would be something that was worthy of a tremendous attention? It is not that God does not take note of his own and that God does not see and reward those who serve him. Certainly that is not the case. What Jesus said in verse number 10, though, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. If I look at my life, if you look at your life of service unto the Lord, I'm not to look at my own life and say, wow, I've done this for the Lord, or I've done that, or I'm worthy of special recognition, or I've really done a great job. No, if I have looked at my life of service since the day that I received Christ as my Savior until the present, the things that I've done for the Lord, if I've done the things that he commanded me to do, I'm not to think that that's something extraordinary. I look at myself and evaluate myself and say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done the things that were commanded me to do. Now, to again get to how God views and takes care of his own, this again is not implying that God is harsh or that God doesn't take note. Certainly he does. Hebrews 6 and verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God takes note of that which we do for him. Jesus said in Revelation 22, 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. In 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, Paul, near the end of his life, says, I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There are rewards for service. And there are those things that Jesus will bestow upon his own that have earned rewards and so forth as we stand before him to give an account for our lives. This verse, when I look at verse 10, I look at our evaluation of ourselves. I don't need to think I'm something extraordinary because I've simply done the things that God told me to. And by the way, we know from the Word of God that it is by God's grace that we are saved, and God also gives grace for service unto him. The Apostle Paul said once about himself, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he talked about his labors for the Lord, and yet he was careful to point out that it wasn't necessarily him so much as the grace of God in him. And so when God saves us by his grace, and then he equips us by his grace to serve him with our lives, and we do the things that he has commanded us to do, our best evaluation of ourselves is to say, this is nothing extraordinary. I'm an unprofitable servant. I've just done the things that were commanded. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, Bible says, Paul writes, he says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. It's very often easy for us to think highly of ourselves. Pride is spoken of so much in Scripture, and it seems that probably for most people, it's a regular battle dealing with pride. Maybe we wouldn't say these glorious things about ourselves out loud, but oftentimes we think them. If we think we've done something special, or we think that our service is noteworthy, we sometimes have those thoughts in our heart. But the truth is that if God, as the Creator and the Savior, has made me, saved me, given me his word and his desires and his will, his commandments, and then I do them, after he has saved me by his grace and given me his grace to serve, then why should I think that I am something extraordinary? We are simply doing that he has told us to do. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. If I was dead in my sins, and Jesus came and died in my place, rose again from the dead, and then saved me, then I'm not to spend the rest of my life living for me. I'm to spend my life living for the one that died for me, rose again. The unprofitable servant. Again, it is not indicating that God is not generous. God's extraordinarily generous. And it is not saying that God doesn't take note of our labor. It is a proper evaluation of who we are in our own eyes as we serve God this side of eternity. As we consider the word profitable or unprofitable, I just want to point out one other passage of Scripture as we consider this, and that is in 1 Corinthians 13 and the first couple of verses. Most people know this as chapter on love or charity. Charity, the older English word that would mean usually what we would say love, not so much the meaning of charity as giving to the poor. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, notice, it profiteth me nothing. One of the points here in these first couple of verses of 1 Corinthians 13 is the manner in which you and I would go about doing things unto the Lord and for others. And all of these, what we might consider great or noble things that are mentioned, having faith that can move mountains, giving our goods to feed the poor, and even dying a martyr's death and being burned, maybe at the stake, such as martyrs of the past that we've maybe read about. And it's not that there's only martyrs from the past. There's places now today in this world where those who name the name of Christ do so at great risk. But to do all of these things and not have behind it the motive of love is for those things to end up profiting us nothing. It might profit someone else. Maybe I can give some of my possessions to feed the poor. Maybe you can donate some things, and maybe your motivation might be, somebody's pestering you, or maybe you just sort of, you see others giving and you don't want to be embarrassed because others are giving and you're not. So, well, I better just do this to save face. Or maybe sometimes people do outward things really out of pride and to gain the attention of others. Well, that gift might help the one that you're giving to. But is it going to really profit you as you stand before the Lord one day and give an account of your life? The motivation behind these needs to be love. And as we consider our love for God, consider our love for Christ and that which he did for us upon the cross, then his love working in us as we love those that were seeking to serve in his name, should be, that love should be the motivation and the reason why these things are being done. Not just to do them, or for any other reason, but the purity of our love for the Lord and love for others. And just wanted to end with this passage of scripture as we consider this idea of being profitable or unprofitable. And even here, as it mentions, our motivation that needs to be in such things. Very interesting passage here in Luke, the unprofitable servant. At first reading, perhaps not what we might expect would be the definition of an unprofitable servant or someone that we would define in this way. But as we serve the Lord and as we do the things that he has told us to do, our evaluation of ourself is, if I've done what God's commanded me to do, have I done something extraordinary? Have I done something really noteworthy? No, I've just done what he's commanded. And why should we not do those things which he has commanded as God is, again, our creator and our savior, that in the one who, again, from which we will receive rewards, and even as we consider eternal life as 1 Peter mentions that we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, and the great things that God has laid up in store, those who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. God's extremely generous. God is a very, very gracious God. This evaluation of being an unprofitable servant, I think, is how we look at ourselves. I'm nothing great. I'm nothing significant in my own eyes. I'm thankful for all that God has done. I'm thankful he saved me, for me to just do the things he's told me to do. Nothing great about that. That's just really what I should be doing. I'm an unprofitable servant in my own eyes. And Jesus, when he comes back, says, my reward is with me. There will be rewards. God takes note of his own, and we look forward to that day when the Lord will return. Look for that return even today.